Today's date is 10/16/2021.
Someone asked me saying, whenever you guys form a militia, will you be Mary's Little Regiment?
I like that one. I'm a military guy. I love soldiers. I love police. Mary's Little Regiment. I like that. All Catholics are militant. That's all there is to it, you know. All my children, men and girls, boys and girls, I would raise them up to be militant fighters, you know, because you're in a battle. You're in a battle. Let me start out with a little prayer here.
Absolutely.
Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, through God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the intercession of St. Joseph, the Patriarch of the Holy Family, and Patron of the Holy Catholic Church, grant you all the graces and all the helps you need to come to the Catholic Church and thus have hope to save your mortal souls, and for those who are in the Church to stay faithful and to remain faithful, not to fall out and fall away. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with the Spirit of love and wisdom. St. Patrick, the Moses of Ireland, pray for us. Now, I don't know if I mentioned this to just a few of the people who joined this week, but the format that we're going to be doing is because I want the profession of faith to come out quicker, because I got a lot done, or it's almost all done already. And if I just put one up a week and one up a week, we're going to be here for like a whole year. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to just put up the one section, two or three sections per week on the profession of faith. I only put one up this week because this week I was very busy redoing my videos that YouTube took down. I had to redo the videos. I had to shrink them all down, 79 videos. I had to then post them up on my site, and I had to then do 79 video pages of programming to get all that going up. And I did it within 10 days, and I almost died after it was done. Some of the brothers saying, your eyes look like they're bugging out, you know? But it took a lot. But I got it done anyway. But that's what I was doing this week. Now, but it's done. It's the 79 videos are up there. It's on my server. I don't got to worry about YouTube taking them down. And the next thing we're going to do is do the conspiracy videos. We're going to relink all those. And that's my next project. But getting to the catechism, profession of faith, I put the one up on the sports and stuff. We'll talk about that in a second. And I'm going to try to put four or five up per week, or three or four, you know, and then I want you to read it during the week. And I'm not going to reread it when we're talking on the seventh weekday. All you got to do is read them and save your questions for the seventh weekday and ask me any questions you might have on. I could see Shannon had a good question on something about sports. We'll go over in a second. So this way we can be saving time. I can get the stuff up quicker because right now I'm almost done with the profession of faith. It's almost, it'll probably be about 60 pages maybe, but that's the bulwark. It has the how to live the not just what you need to believe in, but how to live the Catholic faith. And like I said, if there's any things that need to be adjusted or modified, we can go over it. And I was going over this stuff with the brothers for years now, and the one thing, Shannon, you brought up, I just caught part of it here, and you were saying, could women learn martial arts for self-defense? Yes, they could. So that's something I got to put in there. I didn't think about that, but they can't compete like in competitions. But you can hear me, Shannon?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
go ahead. Practical?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, for practical reasons.
Right. Now that's something I didn't think of. So that's got to be added, and we're perfecting the profession of faith. But they can't compete in, which is gross, you know, when you look, it's just disgusting. But you could learn it for self-defense. So I'll put that in there. Just like women can learn how to shoot guns for self-defense. And
just to be clear.
Yeah.
And just so you're not misheard, you approve of MMA, you just don't approve of women competing in MMA.
What's that? Oh, I approve of MMA, yeah. Yeah, if you read it.
It sounded like you thought MMA was disgusting, if anybody heard that.
No, with the women.
The
women fighting in MMA is disgusting. Just like when if they're trying, you know, any aggressive sport, it's ugly. You know, they look like men running around. Yeah.
They do in MMA. They especially look very masculine.
Oh yeah, it's horrible.
It's nasty.
It is. It's a natural law. It's repulsive. Even when they play basketball and they're hey, you get over here, you know, it's disgusting. Against the natural law, even.
I was saying, like soccer. I used to play soccer when I was a kid, but it was never like the professional soccer players that, like, you know, like women running about like men, just kind of picking, hurting each other and like diving into each other and stuff like that. But I think, you know,
We
like
had some.
friendly soccer.
Well, we were we had. I don't know if I had that on there or we had it on there, but we were talking about this. Brothers and sisters, can they shoot a basketball hoop? Can they maybe kick a soccer ball? I think maybe I got to add something about that. We said if it's just brothers and sisters and relatives, with a fun little game in the backyard when you're a young girl, a boy. Not as you get older, then it's like, you know, you're 16, 17 years old, and you're playing soccer against your brothers and all, then it starts getting a little competitive and a little manly. Maybe when you're younger, and
Yeah, I
maybe,
was going to say
go
that.
ahead.
I was going to say that myself, that, you know, children quite often they play soccer. That's what they do. Like, you know, so they're just running around having fun, you know, they're not really taking it seriously.
Okay, then I have to mention something about children.
I grew out of it.
Yeah.
Oh,
But
modesty.
if you were like, as long as you're modest, but if you get to the age where you're like teenager or you're getting a little bit old then and you're still playing with your brothers and all that, then it starts getting a little you know, I mean it's and it's, then you should a woman it just doesn't look right. You know, it's like watching like you see these old Italian or these Italian years ago, you know, your Italian, your Russian mothers. Can you imagine her running around on a soccer field kicking soccer balls all over the place? She's in the house cooking and cleaning, sweeping out the house, taking care of the kids, manager running the whole house, and that's what she does. And you just, you,
Yes,
yeah.
I'll add to that. Well, I think what the core why it's so bad when they get older is because boys tend to be competitive, especially at their teenage years,
And they
and
get
they need
stronger,
that fighting spirit. So it's not a place for a woman, basically.
Yes, you're right. And they get stronger too. Stronger and more competitive. So I will put something down there about children. We did have that in one of the versions that I had where the children could, you know, shoot basketball hoops and kick the soccer ball around and all that. But like as children, but they got to watch out when they start getting to a certain age. And I don't know what age we can put on it, but we'll have to put some type of an age on there.
Yeah, and include that, you know, young boys do also want to have competition. So when they're having their soccer matches that are competitive, women, girl, little girls shouldn't be allowed in
Oh
that
yeah.
either.
Yeah, no, little girls
Girls
could.
tend to grow out of it anyway. They grow out of it anyway. Because I used to play soccer with my brothers when I was a kid, and then as soon as I hit about, even when I hit about 11, I was like not interested anymore in playing. You know, being a tomboy. So as I started to hit 13, I started becoming very girly. I used to be very tomboyish when I was younger. Then I got really, and then I just became very feminine whenever I hit about, you know, 13,
Yeah,
12,
you
13.
grow
So
out of
you
it.
just grow out of it.
That's true, and that's the normal. And but others, when you're encouraged by society to go on with it, they're making a bunch of tomboys out there. They're turning women into feminists and tomboys. The other thing, we'll see about the girls, then I'll say is boys can be in competitive sports, but girls can never be. Women can never be in competitive sports, period. But because then it makes them competitive again. You become more aggressive. You're playing against strangers. You get that whole other type of mentality. It's not just amongst relatives and friends in the neighborhood or something. So.
Yeah, so girls in Ireland are encouraged to play camogie, which is a
The
hurling sport.
shinbreaker.
It's like hockey, except we play with the ball in the air, and it's like even the girl teams are supposed to be encouraged and all this kind of thing. So girls shouldn't play competitive sports as well when they're younger. It should be strictly friendly
That's
kind of
right.
playing.
Absolutely right. So women and girls never can play competitive sports, never. Because that's what then puts you inside then that competitive spirit and it makes them more manly you're going to stay that way. You're not going to grow out of it. If it's just a friendly game with neighbors and friends and family members, fine. But they can never, but boys, they can be in competitive sports. And when you look at
I
it,
always felt really,
go ahead.
sorry. I said I always felt really bad because I never had a competitive nature in my whole life, so I always felt like there was something wrong with me.
Oh, I know you, because they want you to feel that way. You know, when you look at the
Yeah.
advertisements today on TV, Think about it. The women are on this Peloton bike, riding their bicycles, running up and down, doing exercises, climbing mountains, shooting basketball, anything but taking care of the family. They're never in the family. They're never home with the husband and the kids. You don't even see the husband and the kids. A bunch of girls are running around, driving around in a car, but there's nothing about the family, and it's all manly stuff, and there's nothing about the traditional family anymore. It's all gone. But the sports thing that they put into women is sick. It's crazy. And these girls are being trained not to be mothers and not to be wives, you know, and loyal and faithful to their husbands and to take care of their homes and cook and clean. The woman is the bulwark of the home. Yeah.
My mother asked me whenever I was a kid, and she asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a housewife.
Oh, yeah.
And she told me, no. You can be something else. I said, I want to be a mom like you.
That's right.
And I want to be like you. And she just like said, no, you can be something better.
Exactly. Like, what could be better than that? Think about how evil that is. Think about it. A housewife is like dirt. They think that's, but that's the bulwark of society. A housewife, a mother taking care of the home, her husband loving her. The true definition of love is wanting to take care of your husband and your children, to take care of your home. That's the greatest thing a woman can achieve. To now they want him to be loyal. Go ahead.
All the man is there to do is just to support the woman. Everything is aimed towards the woman so she can take care of the family.
That's right. And when you lose that, it's actually, that's why these women are not happy. And they'll never be happy. They can have moments of happiness, but with immense moments of depression, sadness, mental illness, craziness, drunkards, drug addiction, or other types of addictions, they're not ultimately happy. And that's what they're pushing all these girls in. You got to go to college. You got to get see, women, as a general rule, have to be housewives. Some women could be called to certain different callings as an extraordinary rule, but not as a general rule. And so when society stops promoting women as being housewives and staying home and taking it, everything's all, it's all over. You see how they mock these talents? Go ahead.
Most nursing jobs, taking care of people, care jobs are women as well. And that's never going to change because women are naturally better at those kind of positions. But you know, even whenever women do go out and become breadwinners, they all tunnel into the similar fields, like nursing and childminding and running daycares and stuff like that. So
yeah,
you take her out of the home, she's just going to replace that with something else anyway, in a form of employment,
right? You know? If you take that, that's right. Women are able to take care of children in a way men can't do. Unless a man has to. But even then, he can't do it like a woman. So everybody has their own gift. And when they separated that whole thing and tried to turn women into men, and now men are being turned into women. Men are being effeminized. They're staying home. They're taking care of their kids. They're changing the diapers. You know, somebody made a big stink in England. This guy, Thomas, I talked about, I says, any guy that changes diapers when his wife is around and she can do it is a wimp. It's like heresy almost. You know, my brain is going crazy now. He's saying men can't change their baby's diapers. Yeah, if they have to, they could. But if the woman's there, and it's like the wife saying, change, bossing her husband around. We had somebody in here. I'm not going to tell her name, but they had a family. And his wife was standing right there. And her husband was changing the diaper of the kid right there in front of her. And she wasn't doing anything. He says, what are you doing? That's your wife's job to do. And he's getting down like a dutiful husband, you know. Go get down and change the diapers now, you know. Everything's upside down. They put the woman over the husband. The husband's now the woman. And the children are now over the parents. So the devil turned upside down the whole natural order of society. You've got so many effeminate men out there. Even you could have a guy who's a big football player, a strong guy, a big MMA player, and he could be a wimpin' when he goes home. Yeah.
I find one of the worst things as well is the fact that they made the new baby formula, as they've made it so that women don't have to feed their children properly, and now the husband can do it.
Yeah, and, that's amazing.
And the baby doesn't get the proper immune defenses that it gets from the mother.
Absolutely.
From these stupid formulas. And they're filled with soy. They did a study on these little baby boys, and they had like 3,000 times the amount of estrogen in their bodies than a person who was taking hormone drugs for trans, you know, the gender surgery. Whatever. The baby boy had 3,000 times the actual dose of a person who was taking female hormones.
Wow. Look what they're doing. They're trying to mess up the people's. Yeah. You know, we think about this on breastfeeding, right? I think God knows what he's doing, don't you? You know what I mean? He's God. I think he knows what he's doing. He's the one that created all of us. He's the one that gave you breast milk. So come on, you're going to see when they start telling you stuff like that, you know, like it's not as good. It's better to now we got this new formula we made up in the laboratory. That's better. Or even it came from an animal. He gave you breast milk to feed your kid. That's the way it works. Same thing when they start denigrating natural things like animals. When you eat animal, meat is evil. Well, then why did God allow us to eat it? You know, if meat or salt is evil or wine is evil, you know, God who was drinking wine himself. I mean, and so this whole thing about the bread. Go ahead.
It's worth noting that soy products are in pretty much everything nowadays, even meat products, because they're fed. It's cheaper than a lot of other grains. So they're stuffed full of this soy, and then it gets into your system, and then you're producing a lot more estrogen. Probably has something to do with the amount of
effeminacy, today,
especially in the men.
Yeah, yes. That's very interesting. I never thought about that. Go ahead.
Birth control. So in the birth control, see in the big cities where the drinking water is recycled constantly, you'll find that the men are more effeminate because the women are actually on birth control. And whenever they pass the birth control into the water supply, it gets reused. You can't destroy that hormone. So if you go out more rural countryside, you'll find that the men are stockier and that they're stronger and they're more masculine. The more you go into like the cities, you'll find that the men are a little bit more more feminine and more liberal. And
you know, that's you take that along with the fact of the indoctrination that you undergo in the big cities too, because when you're in a big city, those are the people that are most influenced by the major medias. When you go out to the suburbs, the countryside, into the rural areas, like the cowboys around here, we still got cowboys and cowgirls around here, and they're pretty tough and they're manly, but they're very, on the natural law, they're pretty good. I mean, the way they take care of their animals, they obey their parents. There's a hierarchy in their family. And so we still do have cowboys and cowgirls out here. But when you're living in a big city or something, you're influenced also by the major media that's around you and all the schools that you go to.
I always wondered, too, I was going to ask about when my child starts seeing these pride flag parades, and she was asking me, what are those flags for? And I don't know exactly what to say.
Tell them the flags are evil. It's from the devil. And it's just tell them the truth. Tell your kids the truth.
Yeah.
Don't hide it from them. Tell the kids the truth right away. It's evil. It's disgusting. These are perverts. God condemns them. You know, men want to be marrying men and women want to marry women. They, you know, tell your kid the truth. That's all.
Kids find that so disgusting. I remember whenever I was a kid, there was a little girl who said that she wanted to, when she grows up, she wants to marry me. And I never spoke to her. I didn't want to speak to her ever again. I said that I hated her. And I said that that was disgusting.
Yeah.
I said, this girl is off. Like, I was like, this is disgusting. You can't marry a girl. You have to marry a boy. I admonished her, and I didn't want nothing to do with her ever again.
See,
and my mom tried to force me to be her friend and stuff. And be like, I'll be friends. I was like, absolutely not. I hate this person.
Don't go near her. You know,
I didn't want anyone to do her.
What is the, in the Bible verse, it says, flee from sins as from the face of a serpent, lest they take hold of you. Because it's like near occasions of sin. If that's your friend, if sooner or later it should start moving in on you, and then God's grace is pulled away from you and you start to change. And that's the way they corrupt people. But my point is, we treat kids like they're stupid, you know, and little kids aren't stupid. Even when they're young, they can handle the truth. Once they get the use of reason, you tell them the truth. Tell them what evil is. Yeah.
I know someone who got kicked out of kindergarten for anti-Semitism, and not in the sense of like hating Jews.
But, yeah.
There was a Jewish teacher who told them, we're not celebrating Christmas this year. We're celebrating Hanukkah. And they put up a bunch of Hanukkah shit in the house. Sorry for swearing. Putting a bunch of Hanukkah stuff around the classroom, and then he goes, I hate Hanukkah, and I hate Jews.
Yeah.
Well, he's just a kid, but he said he hated it, and then they kicked him out. He was a 4-year-old,
You see,
five-year-old.
yeah, we had, I told you, I don't know if I told you the story, but when they brought a St. Benedict's Prep, which I spoke about, where they first started to bring in non-Catholic teachers to teach us, and they brought in a Jewish teacher called Slasher, you know, and they said, oh, and so we started calling him like Christ Killer and all that kind of stuff. And then we got a G.I. Joe doll. One kid did, I know who a friend of mine, and he nailed G.I. the doll to a cross, and he put blood on it, and he put it in the guy's drawing open. He said, "You Christ killer." So in other words, the Jew guy went nuts. He went crazy. He just quit, you know? And we said, "We don't want no Jews teaching us." You know? But you can't do that. You see, here's my point. We were taught when we were young that Jews that don't believe in Jesus Christ are under the blood guilt of killing Christ, and they're evil, okay? But we were taught that when we were young, and it stuck with us. Now, what are kids being taught today? Since Vatican Council, especially Second Vatican Council, what are they being taught today? The opposite. The opposite. So now your kids are wimps. They're not. They're whatever you teach the kid, he's going to pick it up. You see? And so the political correctness prevents you from teaching your kid the truth. You're not supposed to judge anybody. You're not supposed to condemn anybody. You know, and so it's a dangerous. Oh, that's the time of the Antichrist. I mean, who can doubt it when you look at everything that's going on? Just this week, for instance, in the United States, now they haven't passed it yet, but you saw, well, my YouTube account. You saw what happened to that, right? 2 days after they took my YouTube account, all my videos off. I watched the news on EWTN. I just watched the news. Everything else is, it's all crap. Even the news is crap. But to find out what's going on and all that, keep up on the enemy. But there was a guy on there that had a conservative APP was called against abortion, against transgender, against homos. And all his stuff was taken down on YouTube without any reason or without any warning. This week, you're here. They said something like 1 million people were taken off. So they're kicking his stuff up into high gear now. Also, now they're making a law where if you got more than $600 in your bank account, they want the IRS and the State Department to have the right to go in and find out how much money you have in your bank accounts. They're starting to do this now. So, you know, my
Sometimes
mic, go
they
ahead,
have some people.
yeah.
I sent money to someone. I sent some money to a friend of mine, and because it came from another country, their PayPal got shut down, because for no reason, just for receiving money,
Oh yeah,
their
that's gonna happen.
PayPal was shut down.
That's gonna happen with us.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen with us. You know, I was gonna put something like for donations up on my website. I don't know if I want to do that anyway, but I thought maybe it doesn't hurt to do it for people who want to give a donation or a gift. But if I put it up on my website, they're going to find out, like the PayPal thing. Then I'll be shut down even quicker, because they don't want you to get any money, you know. And
you can use Western Union,
yeah.
And Western Union's really good because you can pick up cash.
Yeah.
So I could send money to from the Western Union in Ireland to
Oh, I
yourself or
got it. And
somebody,
you're just going there and
you
pay
know,
him cash.
and then you just pick it up in cash, like, and there's
Yeah.
no credit cards, no nothing. They just t put that money into their account, and then you pick it up from one of the from the other account, and it's a way that you can, instead of
Right.
it has to touch bank accounts and stuff like that, you can just, they're like the intercessor, so you can just get the money out in cash that day, so
Pretty soon,
nobody has to use any cards.
we're gonna have to start smuggling money to one another, like gold and silver. And we got we that's a good. If you ask me, what should you do if you have extra money to buy gold and silver and bury it somewhere?
Yeah, I
But
was going to start buying
gold and
bullion for
silver could,
the
yeah.
child.
Yeah, if I could just go on there.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Sean. Yeah, no, on the Western Union thing, there's a lot of banks that just will not deal with Western Union.
Oh.
It's, yeah, it's seen. I tried to send money to a relative in Australia, and the bank refused the transaction. He, as Shannon says, you go to a local store in the country, you give them like a PIN number, and then they give you the cash. They say it can be used for like really perverse stuff. Drug deals, pornography, stuff like that, so they won't deal with it, you know?
Wow. So they don't like that Western Union's doing this, so the banks don't want to use the service. See,
Yeah, they don't want my bank won't use it, you know.
yeah, I know. It's crazy. They're starting to cut us down all over the place. That's why I'm glad I got that website out to you, because, I wanted to leave my videos down for a while, but I said, I want to get them up. But I want people to get used to the fact that one day you're going to click onto that internet, and my site's not going to be there for a while. And so if you have it on the hard drive, you got all the files lined up right there, and I can update the hard drive once every 6 months. I'll show you. I got ideas on how we're going to do that with SD cards. I can send you a couple SD cards, and you can update the drive I gave you and add any new movies or any new videos that I got on the high quality ones. But we're going to have to start doing stuff like that and commute. But eventually, like I said, I'm going to be back online one way or another. It's going to have to be a miracle at how it happens, because there's no way Antichrist wants me online or any. He doesn't want anybody who's conservative minded on the natural law to be online or available or accessed. They're actually trying to delete all history, but the history that they want you to hear, their perverted doctrines and their heresies and their immoralities. So, but thank. But the only way I'm going to get back up on the site is by a miracle. God's going to have to smash a couple of heads together. And that's it.
You gotta get on the it's a website, Odyssey, it's called ODYSEE,
Yeah.
and they're not taking anything down at the moment. I watched Hellstorm
Yeah.
and
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
The Last Battle. Yeah, oh man, Hellstorm really made me
It's sick.
angry.
It's sickening. Yeah. Europa's good too.
Yeah,
Europa.
Excellent.
yeah. Europa was the probably the most traumatic thing I've ever
There it
seen,
is. Yeah, very
actually
good.
witnessed in my whole life.
We got to edit some of the pictures in there, but yeah, it was very good. He did a real great job on that.
I've never been the same person after watching that one, to be honest. Like, I've been very disturbed after it, but it's made me really, really open my eyes to how cruel and unusual apostate Jews are.
Oh,
And
my f when
the cruel and unusual,
when my father
oh
was
my goodness.
when my father was in Hungary during World War II, and when and the Germans were there were the Hungarians were fighting with the Nazis on the side of the Nazis against the United States, and he said the Germans were so civil that if you even raped or something, they will kill you in the German army. You If their soldiers raped, that's a death penalty. But he said when the Russians, first of all, a couple of things, when the Russians came in, they were controlled by like your Jews. He said, this guy, his name was Beria. He said the Jews were the worst torturers in the whole, worse than the Chinese even, the Jews, when they tortured
They
you.
are.
And this guy would drive
Oh,
around in
yeah.
a black locomotive box, and he'd bring people in there and torture them. But they had torture techniques that were even more savage than the Chinese, the Jews, the apostate Jews.
Yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I couldn't get into it now, but like, it's the amount of cr the cruelty that these people have
Oh,
in their hearts. And
yeah.
I watched this also, this documentary about the child sacrifices, is from the
Yeah.
The reason why they were kicked out of so many countries, and
Yeah.
the way that they, like, a little kid called Christopher in Spain, they crucified little children, little
Oh, yeah.
Catholic children, and they punctured them and turned their blood into bread.
And they're still doing it. And they're still
And they're
doing
still
it.
doing it.
You don't hear about it, but you better believe they're doing it. Where do you think they get their power from? If you want to be a powerful warlock or a witch, which is what these Jews are, the Kabbalists, the Kabbalah is witchcraft. If you want to get the most power from the devil, you got to have to offer human sacrifice. He demands it.
Exactly.
And he starts out with animals, moves up to humans. Go ahead.
You see the satanic calendar? I looked at it a couple of times to check. Sometimes I like to check their dates, because sometimes when evil laws are passed, like abortion laws, sometimes they have them on satanic holidays.
Oh,
So you check up on the calendar when there's an evil law passed, check the date, and then check if it's on the satanic calendar. But they have their sacrifice has the date, then the kind of sacrifice, and then after that they have what kind of sacrifice, what age. Like, they would have a child, a sexual murdered child
yeah.
sacrifice of a child that's 1 year old,
See, that's one thing.
and
That's one thing
they.
you don't hear about. You hear a lot about pedophilia with the nominal Catholic priests and all that, pedophilia. Okay, you hear about that, and you hear about some child molestations, First of all, it's going on more than you even think, but they never want you to hear about the human sacrifices that are going on, especially of the children and the infants. It's rampant with these people on the top of the evil hierarchy. It happens a lot. If you want to get into the high levels of these, the movie The Believers, which I have on there, you got to watch that movie, The Believers. That's a really excellent, true movie about Santeria, Brujeria, yeah. and it's really true. That's the way it happens. And you get your power when you ultimately start offering up human sacrifices. And the Jews have been doing it. They're still doing it. And, I think it's going on in the Vatican, too, for sure. I think that Francis the First is doing it in the back. You know, he's offering up human sacrifices.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Have you seen that Temple of Lucifer, which is underneath the Vatican?
No, I believe it. I didn't see it, but...
Yeah, like, there's literally satanic temples inside the Vatican, and there's statues of Baphomet as well.
Did you see the map room? That's visible for everybody, the map room. Thomas, it's in my desecration book, the map room. Devils, right out in the open. Just take a look at the map room. Remember, I quoted in my Second Coming to Jesus Christ when Ezekiel went into the temple, and he says, "Son of man, go into the temple and see the abominations my people are committing therein. They're worshiping idols and animals and devils and fornicating right in God's holy temple." So, you know, it's horrible. I mean, anybody that still wants to stay in that church, especially after you look at the desecrations on the in the churches, false gods, Apollo, Jupiter, Janus, pornographic images, Venus completely naked. Are you kidding me? I'm out of here. I'm out. Go ahead, Thomas.
Not just those in the Novus Ordo, but also those who condone it and all the fakes that you say they can't set there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're supposed to be your real bulwark upholding the faith. The traditionalists, they make me sick. They're as bad as they're equally bad as the rest. They're like the pre-Vatican II heretics that have been around for 1,000 years, you know, and they're upholding scholasticism. Oh, they're fanatics over Aquinas. They love even Jerry Mattetix, who's a pretty smart guy and all that. This Jerry Mattetix, I don't know if he's still doing it, but I hope you read my stuff. He teaches philosophy to his kids, like Aristotle and all that, and Plato and all that. I mean, it's sickening. Did they get it? Now with the drive that I sent out there, how are you gonna leave that one drive with Dermot Thomas until he gets to copy it, and you still have one back with at your place, right?
Yes. I have the original. That's not going to leave my house.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the copy.
Good.
The backup made.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, it's completed.
Good. Oh, you did? You copied it already?
Yeah, it's fully copied, yeah.
What did you copy it on, like a 2 terabyte or a two terabytes or an 8 terabyte?
4 terabytes. When TJ was staying with me, we went out. TJ bought, what was it, 2 more drives, TJ, out of the tithes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah.
I got one for
good.
Shannon and one for Declan.
Good.
Halfway finished doing that.
Very good.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's got everything in there that you need, not just about the faith, and also for entertainment and music. It's really a power-packed full thing. Even the movies that are not religious have value to it when you look at it. You can see the historical ways that men are, and it's a very good, it's a very important thing to get, and the devil doesn't want that thing getting into anybody's hands, but if God wills it's going to happen, no one's going to stop him. You know, just remember one thing, we were talking, go ahead. Shannon,
I had a question. Right, so there's this film that I used to watch whenever I was a kid, and I understand watching movies that portrays magic as a good thing is bad, but there's movies that portray magic as bad that I think are good. There's a movie by Roald Dahl called The Witches, and it portrays witches as the most evil, abominable creatures in the world that kill children, essentially.
Yeah,
and it's a very dark movie. Is literally showing that these women camouflage in society.
Yeah.
They pretend to be all normal, and then they all meet up and congregate, and they take their masks off, and they're all evil witches with pointy noses wanting to kill children.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good. As long as it portrays it as evil. We got a lot of movies like that because it's true. I mean, when the God converted me, the first thing he did is he let the devil beat the hell out of me, the hell that's in me, you know? He let every devil in hell beat, I was attacking ways that would take me about 5 hours to tell you what would happen with me. But when I realized that the devil exists and that he's really how evil he is, it caused me to run to God. I mean, I just ran. First of all, then I knew there really was a God because there's a devil. And then I ran to God for help. And so the reality of the devil is necessary for people to know, because when you hide it, the devil doesn't want you to believe that he exists, or that if he does, he's a good guy, not a bad guy. And so when you have any movie that depicts evil as evil, that's a good movie. You just have to censor out some of the stuff that's in there. And all movies, we have to do that with all the movies. We got the Believers. We got the Exorcism of Emily Rose. We got a movie called Case 39, which is a really good one, against idolizing kids. You want to get over your idolization of kids? Watch Case 39. Just watch that one. That's a shocker.
Children of the Corn.
I don't know about that one. I never heard of that. Is that another one?
It says Children of the Corn. It's like those little demonic kids that have like demonic powers, and you know they can read people's minds.
Oh yeah,
and stuff,
yeah. When I, you know, when I'm
that's an old movie. It's really good. That one, the Children of the
Corn. Okay,
Children
of the Corn.
Like ESP,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let me know these so I can bring them in. You know, when I'm at the, and I can edit them, censor them. You know, when you censor them, it makes them so much better, because a lot of these movies have like three or four or five scenes that are really bad. And we used to just cover it up with a cardboard paper so you can't look at it or speed it up. But when you cut it out, it makes the movie so much better. It's like almost looking at a whole other movie. And you can be comfortable when you're looking at it.
It must take you quite a long time to do all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It takes quite a while. But we've been doing this for years now. It's been going on for years. Mm. But it doesn't take that. Once you get used to how to do it, it's sort of like anything else. Once you learn how to do it, the hardest part, I think, is covering up the immodesty scenes. Cutting out scenes is real easy. Boom, boom, you chop them out. And sometimes maybe like cutting out the F word, you know, you got to cut that one out. But let's see, also, just getting back to talking about kids, you know, like when I'm in a shopping and I see a little baby in a mother's arms, I'm nice. I love all people. I do. I don't like all people, but I love all people. But when I look at that little baby, I say, there's a demons in that baby. Big devils in that little baby. That little baby can kick your ass if you don't watch out. That little baby's got devils in it, and he could throw curses on you. So people, they think people are all innocent, especially babies, you know, and children.
People are born evil, and I know that to be true, because you know, you get someone like, you know, Ted Bundy, and there's nobody can become a serial killer unless they were just had the propensity to be that evil,
right?
You know?
Well, and if that's a Ted Bundy guy, but when you just look at every baby that's not baptized, listen, even if you're baptized, you're not as bad maybe as the unbaptized. But any baby who's not baptized also has an affinity for evil, and some are more evil than others, even. More evil than others. But I guess the point we're getting at, like our Lord God told us, that the only good people in the world are those who are in a state of grace. So that means everybody else, infants included, are in the camp of the devil, and they're serving Satan. And Satan could work.
Wait.
Yeah, can work through them. Go ahead.
For religious people, I think that makes sense, but for the average populace, the way I explain it to them is simply that there are evil people and God knows all things, and therefore God knows as that child is evil.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stalin, for example.
Oh yeah,
he
right.
Knew how Stalin would turn out.
Judas.
And
Judas, yeah.
And therefore, yeah, Judas, he knows that way you can prove to the person so you agree that there are evil infants, you know, and you can kind of work from there. Because when you say that to somebody, that child is evil or whatever, they just, you know, as you
said, I don't say it to them. I don't say that to them. I don't say it to the lady in the store. I say it to myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't go up and say, hey,
sure.
You're.
It comes up like in conversation here and there. Like,
No, I don't, I know, but I'm saying when I'm in shopping, I look at little kids. That's what I don't say it to the mother. I say, hey, you got an evil kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't say it to the mother because she's evil too, you know. That's nasty. That's provoking people. That's wrong. But I'm saying it to myself. because I know what's inside people. But when you are talking to people, the best thing to say is that God knows everything that's going to happen from the beginning to the end. He knows everybody was going to be evil before he created the world. He knew Judas was going to grow up to be evil, even when he was a baby. So when you look at little baby Judas, you go, look at that nice little baby. God says he's going to be a traitor and end up in hell. And so you're right. You don't, go ahead.
It's really just a topic that does come up a lot. Your article on that is brilliant. And that people idolize infants and that they're always good no matter what.
Yeah. That's right.
It puts people in perspective just to change their outlook and not to take God for granted. That they have to infuse the proper faith and morals into their children.
My memorization verse today was, God does not desire a multitude of faithless and immoral children. Faithless in something along those lines. God does not desire a multitude of faithless and ungodly children. And so, and that's why in the book I wrote, the Diamond Brothers idolize infants. You know, they fell into heresy on that. They going along with the Aquinas thing about the damned infants not burning, or at least they're happy united to God. And that's why when I wrote in the one book that I wrote about that, I had a bunch of Anglican children, Hindu children, Muslim children, little baby. And I said, they all have one thing in common. They're all children of the devil and on the road to hell. And old Peter Diamond, he don't like that. Oh, no, they're not evil. You know, they're not in a state of grace, but they're not evil neither. They're not impious sinners. That's what he said. Original sin makes us all sinners. We are all sinners. Paul says that in Romans 5. We're all sinners by original sin. It's a real sin, causes a real guilt, not the character of a sin like Aquinas says. It's a real sin, makes us guilty sinners and on the road to hell. And that's, I tell you, it's one of the biggest issues where people go, leave us then. If you idolize the human race, and I say it a million times, most people fall out of the church or never come into the church because they idolize their family members and children. Not even sex, not even money. And there's other things you can fall out from. This is so powerful. Idolizing your family members and looking at children, especially today, the way people, I don't think there's anybody today that dies that they think is going to hell. Everyone's going to heaven, except for maybe us. If we die, maybe they'll say we would go to hell, you know. Well, devils maybe. But anyway, if you got somebody that's like that because you're never going to convert someone like that until they see the power of God working through us by miracles and by killing people. And only maybe then, they would get the fear of God in them and say, this is no mushy teddy bear God. People are not good. You know, and I always say, if all babies are good, then what happens? How do they get so bad when they grow up? You know, like, does something happen when they reach 13 or 14? Like they're all of a sudden, it's inside them. And that's why raising children the right way from the cradle to the grave, I mean, right when they're born and praying for them and blessing their crib where they're sleeping in their beds, doing your prayers to keep the devils away from them.
The disposition of the soul.
Yeah.
And I always explain to people why we put the faith above reason. The way I explain to people is, you know, if there's two people and you explain the same information to both of them, goes through the same brain, one turns out pro-abortion, one turns out pro-life.
Excellent. Yeah, very good. Yeah, go ahead.
Their heart has dragged them towards one or the other. It's nothing to do with the information.
Good. Okay. I use a verse that's very good. That's what I used in, it's a book of Acts. It says, and Paul preached to the people, and some of them believed what was said, and some believed not. Some of them believe what St. Paul said, and some believe not. And what I said was, do we all agree God wants all those men to be saved? Yes, God wants all men to be saved. Okay, so then we do agree that God gave all those men the same grace to believe. So then what's the only difference? Free will. They choose not to believe by their own choice, their own free will. And that's the proof of free will, and you can't blame it on God. You can't blame it on his grace. And go ahead.
Extend that to children or to pagans on islands, that their heart is not right with God. If they're not being shown the faith, or if they grow up a certain way or whatever, it's because their heart is not with God.
Right.
It's nothing to do with whether the parents did her job or not.
Yeah. And you could say, if they're of goodwill, God's going to get them into the church before they die. And if they never learn about the church within their lifetime, that's a sure sign from God that they're of bad will, ultimately of bad will and reprobates, period. That's it. I mean, I think one of the church fathers even said, you keep talking about these people on the island. How many people in Catholic nations who know about the faith that are so-called Catholics that are reprobates that they see every day? So you're presuming, oh, that could, if just only if we taught that guy, oh, he's going to be good. Oh, if only we preached the gospel in the Americas, look at all these good people we would have got. But first of all, it's going against God's will. It's going against God's judgment. God's judgment, if you let somebody die outside of the church, he's telling us they're reprobates, and who are we to judge, tell God? So the salvation dogma is the key thing that's being denied here today also. Once you deny the salvation dogma, everything else falls. Who needs the Catholic Church? Who needs to be Catholic? Nobody. You don't have to be a member of the church.
Yeah. I had someone say to me that they said to me about you're in schism and that you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and why don't you stay in the basically in communion with the Roman Catholic the nominal Catholic church. And I did respond saying, well, you know what, even if I said to him, they deny all basic dogmas, they're a Catholic can't hold, a non-Catholic cannot hold office in the Catholic Church. Therefore, if you're in communion with the Francis, then you're in committing the sin of heresy. But I said, even though that it's true, according to the current teachings of that particular church, if I'm in schism,
I got you.
And they deny the salvation dogma.
Yeah,
I'm still saved under their
absolutely. Yeah,
so it doesn't matter what I do.
Yeah, that's
why do I have to be in communion with them?
Yeah, that's an argument we use. That's a good one. We used to say something, we would word it something like this. Okay, according to the Vatican II Church, everybody who's outside the church can be saved. You don't got to be Catholic. But according to me, which is the truth, you got to be a member of the church to have a hope to be saved. So why don't you just become a member and hedge your bet? Become a member, hedge your bet. Don't take a chance, you know. I mean,
so
you know
happy
what I mean?
You said that.
Yeah.
Because as I always say to people when I try to use that argument, I don't like this argument because I want to teach the faith.
Yeah.
But if you're an intelligent person, you will hedge your bet, or it's like Pascal's wager, you know.
That's right.
It's a hell.
That's right.
You may as well try to. You may as well believe in God. At least at least you have your some kind of.
You're covering all bets.
There's literally no point to joining the sort of.
No, exactly. You know, and the salvation dogma was starting to be denied in the 16th century, 1500s, when they discovered the Americas, and they started coming up with questions about how could God leave these people out there for 1500 years without the gospel being preached to them. He did. We didn't even know how could he did. That's the end of it. He did. Something I was thinking about today also, on how few people are saved. Fewness of the saved. Right. Every time you talk to people out there today on TV, even on the conservative, you know, protestations, anytime they're talking to somebody who their daughter died, got raped and pillaged, oh, she's looking down on heaven upon. He's looking down on heaven. He's looking down on heaven upon you. One of this Irish guy over, nominal Catholic Irish guy in St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, fireman, his brother died, and he's a fireman. He goes, I go into St. Patrick's and I light a candle and I say to my brother who's looking down upon me, I'm going to go have a beer for you now. Let's have a beer together. So everybody's saved. Everybody. If you came out and said anybody is in hell today, they would bull rush you and martyr you. If you're in a group of these people, you know, we'd be killed ahead of time. Or at least if God allowed it. Yes, if God allowed it. So
I have a joke, and it's like, how do you get into heaven? And it's like, how do you get into heaven? And they go, how? It's like, you just got to know a nominal Catholic.
Oh, say this again. How do you?
How do you get into heaven? It's all about who you know.
If you, yeah, yeah, yeah,
a
right.
Nominal Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, you know, it's amazing.
Because a nominal Catholic will just say everybody's in heaven.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, a kid could rob a store and get shot. Oh, but he basically was a good kid. You know, he's in heaven too. So,
they draw angel wings on George Floyd.
Oh, George Floyd. Oh, they got this guy as a martyr now. You realize this?
Yeah,
this guy's a reprobate. He's a gangster. He's a criminal.
Gold casket.
Yeah.
He put a gun to a pregnant lady.
Yes. Yeah. This, we are glorifying evildoers and criminals, and we're vilifying people on the natural plane who want to be good, conservative-minded people on natural. Everything is upside down, especially, I don't know if it's in Ireland, but in the United States, it's really bad.
Well, they freed barbarians to crucify Jesus, so
yeah. That. So the world, that's right. You know, that tells me, that tells you about the world. The world is a penal colony of Barabbases. And you know, when you see that movie and the Jews choose Barabbas, and then who's a criminal, a gangster, and then you look at the Jews today and you go, well, guess what? That's who you inherited. Now you became criminals and gangsters. You made a league, a pact with these people. And they're on the top of the hierarchy of criminals and gangsters, the apostate Jews, the premier. Yeah. Gangsters.
They forfeited their right to Israel when they crucified Jesus, but also before that they said they had no king but Caesar.
Yes.
When they denied Christ, they denied God and they said that Caesar was their king.
And you know what? That's interesting what you're saying there, Shannon. This brings me to another argument we can use. Not only when they said that about Jesus, we have no king but Caesar, they're actually denying even their Messiah when he comes to power, whoever he is. We just have to remind them of what they said when Jesus came. Hey, remember when Jesus came and you said, we have no king but Caesar? Oh, but now this guy's your king. This Messiah is your king. Because that's even, they were denying a basic tenet of their religion, which is he was going to be the ultimate King David, the Messiah. The ultimate King David, Jesus Christ, who rules forever. So when they said, we're going to have no king forever, what they're saying is they're denying the Messiah. And they're denying his kingship. So it's crazy. And today, they put these apostate Jews on a pedestal, and they say they're the chosen people of God, they're blessed by God, give Israel money, support Israel. It's crazy. Unbelievable.
Even if they didn't believe in Jesus, they're literally saying, we don't believe in God, and they say that. Because, you said, they know a Messiah will come.
That's right. That's correct. That's right. Exactly. Because they don't believe in the God of Abraham. They don't.
They don't even believe in the Torah, though.
No.
They think that the Torah is just a bunch of stories.
Yeah,
and
for
really,
children.
They really follow the Kabbal and the Talmud.
Yeah.
And the Hadith, is it? Hadith?
The Hadiths are Islam.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they follow all this witchcraft, and in their like Talmudic book, they believe that there's six genders as well. Like,
oh, yeah, they're crazy.
Satanic.
It's insane. I don't know if you saw this book. I can't wait till I start putting my stuff back up again. But this Elizabeth Dillon, I think she was a Protestant, but she wrote a really good book exposing the stuff in the Talmud and the Kabbalah. They're warlocks. They're witches.
Yeah.
It's pure witchcraft. It's disgusting. And I don't know, you call anybody on the natural plane could even say with the natural law, and you don't even have to have the true God to know that this is evil. But, and they do, they look down upon the Torah as a childish book for just women and children to read. Because if they read it with a good heart, they may end up believing in Jesus Christ. So they don't want to read it.
Richard, I have a question, like just before it goes out of my mind, if it's okay. You know what, where it says, that the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God?
Yes.
Yeah, right. The Jews apparently they're fundraising stuff to have a third temple built. Would that be for the seat of the Antichrist?
Yes, that's where he is going to be seating, because that's where the temple of God belongs. That's where the temple of God was. That's the home, even though it's not going to be a temple of God, but that's where the temple of God resided and will reside forever. So when it says about he sits in the temple of God, that's in Jerusalem in the third temple. And you also read in one of the scriptures too, that it says when Antichrist is in power, he's telling people that are living in Judea and Galilee to flee from Judea. Flee from Judea, not from Rome. Some people try to say Antichrist is going to be one of these false prophet antipopes, and the Diamond Brothers, I think, believe that, and they take the heat off the Jews. Diamond Brothers are very weak on the Jews. I don't know about what they are today, but when I was there, I can tell you a lot of stories. He was afraid to talk against the Jews and all that. But and then the two witnesses are killed in Jerusalem by the Antichrist. So there again, the home base of the Antichrist is in Jerusalem, and he's going to be sitting in that third temple, showing himself as if he's God. Go ahead.
Yeah, that clears it up for me, because, like, I have a friend, a traditionalist friend, and she keeps bringing up that, you know, the Antichrist can't sit, the temple of God can't be something that the Jews have constructed themselves, because therefore it's not from God. She insists it must be the Vatican, you know?
Yeah, the Vatican's not even a temple of God anymore, with the idols up. You can tell her that. You can say, hey, if the Jews went bad, and God destroyed their temple, and they had idols in it. You could even refer to, like, when they had idols in time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, when he went in there, it was still called the temple of God, but they defiled it. But it was still called the temple of God. So the Vatican is no longer a temple of God. He's not there no more. He's gone. But it's where God's home belongs, where it was, where it should be. And it's especially in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. That's where God's temple belongs. So that in context, that's the context and what they mean. Because you can even compare it to the Vatican today and say that they're as evil as the Jews are when it comes to what they believe in. They're universalists. They pray with every different religious group. They let the pagans come in here. They got mythology over the place. That's not the temple of God neither. But the verses I use to put it in context is when he talks about in those days, they're going to flee from Judea, and which is Israel, and the two witnesses are killed in what they call Sodom, Egypt, otherwise known as where our Lord was crucified, in Jerusalem. Right. And who's killing them is the Antichrist, whose home then is in Jerusalem. It's big what you're talking about here, Dermot, because the Christian Zionists, these bastards, they're turning modern-day Israel into a blessed place. And they're going to think God's going to go in there and defend these apostate Jews, you know, and that the Antichrist is like, they're the good guys and the rest of the world are the bad guys. I mean, it's their dispensationalism that they developed. They call it dispensational millennialism. And I got a whole book written on that almost. I got so much stuff written that's not out there yet. And I get frustrated sometimes, but I did a lot of stuff on Christian Zionism anyway. If you read my book on what do you call evil good and against Christian Zionism, because they distort Bible verses to make a belief that the Israel that's being blessed in the Old Testament is the Israel of today.
Yeah.
And
also, is it relevant that when Jesus called the Pharisees and the Sadducees children of Satan, not of Abraham?
Yes.
And that he went to the temple and he kicked out the money changers, like, he acknowledged that was the temple of God.
That's right.
Even though it was led by complete heretics at the
very
time.
Good. Absolutely right. Yeah, that's another good example. You're right. As a matter of fact, they were antichrists, and they were in the temple. And they were running the temple. They were the leaders of the temple. So
yeah, so when the quote says he will sit in the temple of God, we're talking about the geographical location rather than the building. Is that correct?
Oh, you're saying when who says they should sit in the temple of God?
Oh, sorry, that quote.
The geographical location of where the temples were, the first and second temple, yeah. It doesn't mean it's going to be literally the temple of God, because then it will be a godly place. But think about this. If Antichrist is sitting in it, it can't be a godly place. So even by that verse alone, you could say there seems to be a contradiction, because it's saying the Antichrist is sitting in the temple of God. And then I would say, well, if the Antichrist is in there, how could you dare call it a temple of God? It's an ungodly temple. See, but what they mean is a geographic place. The fact that that's where God's temple was supposed to be and should be and will be. And the same thing with Rome, even, you know, when we talk about Rome being our home, but it's desecrated. But if the Antichrist is sitting in it, then certainly it can't be a temple of God. More accurately, you could say, Antichrist sits in a temple an ungodly temple, thinking it's a godly temple, you know.
Well, like with the abomination of desolation.
Will the Antichrist claim?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Will the Antichrist claim to be born of a virgin? And
he's going to try to mimic the Old Testament prophecies that refer to him. And Will brought up another verse. He said about
the abomination of desolation, a place where it doesn't belong,
right,
in the temple of God. Yeah. But it's not going to be a godly temple, but it's going to be where God's temple belongs. But what were you just saying, Shannon, again?
Will he be born of a virgin?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he's going to mimic the Old Testament prophecies. He's got to be born of a virgin. He's got to be from the tribe of Judah. And he's got to trace his back, his line through David. Now, whether he lies about some of this stuff, maybe he will. But to the public, it has to be perceived that way. So he fulfills those prophecies.
Born in Bethlehem as well?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a tricky one, because I wouldn't, like, I always thought, like, it's kind of retarded just that all these apostate Jews are going to try and encourage their sons or whatever to be born in Bethlehem and call them Emmanuel. Do you know what I mean?
It's forced. It only takes one Jew. Well, even the Jews back in the Old Testament, all the Jewish women always look forward to the fact that they might be the one that's going to bring the Messiah to power. All the faithful Jewish women in the Old Testament era, covenant era. And they were all, it's amazing, though, if they knew about the Bethlehem prophecies, they would have been hoped it was the women in Bethlehem, you know? But the way it happened, even God's, it's amazing how God's ways are, because he was, because he wasn't actually conceived in Bethlehem, but he was born in Bethlehem when he went back there to do the census. But it's not impossible for that to happen. I mean, you got a lot of Jews over in Israel, right? Who's like that one John Stewart said? You literally have a Whitman sampler of Jews in Israel. He was talking about Hillary Clinton, and everybody, when they're a politician, they have to say that they love Jews, they like Jews, or they don't get elected. So Hillary Clinton got up and she started quoting Isaiah. And the guy, what's his name?
John Stewart.
John Stewart came up and said, oh, she knows a biblical Jew, Isaiah. Oh, she knows from the Bible, a Jew from the Bible. Yeah. And who's the other guy? The guy, he took a Lieberman with him.
McCain
took Lieberman. He says, oh, and then McCain, to show how faithful he is to Jews, he flew to Israel with Senator Lieberman. And then he said, you don't need to take a Jew to Israel. There's a Whitman sampler of Jews in Israel already. Anyway, just how much they idolize the Jews.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Have you seen that picture of Hillary Clinton? She came to Belfast, and in Ireland. She came to Belfast, and she's wearing this, like, weird gown, but she had this, like, little demonic kid holding her tail, like,
her tail. I like that, yeah.
Most evilest-looking kid. I'll send a picture.
Oh.
Most evilest-looking kid I've ever seen.
Tell me she doesn't look like a witch. There was one scene too where when she was running for the president, she had this kid sit on her lap and it was so fake. And she tried to be like a loving mother, but she couldn't even do it. She just couldn't do it. Like, you see how phony she was, you know, like when someone is a really a hardcore, cold hearted person and she's trying to be lovey dovey to this kid and it wasn't working, man. It was so phony. It was so fake. It's horrible. Any questions by anybody else? Go ahead.
If you want to finish up on the sports thing, maybe you can tie it together from the start and the end here. And I just had three things written down here about the sports thing.
Okay.
You could reference that your article on modesty. You know, your modesty rules for men and women.
Okay.
Your article.
Yeah.
I was going to say on the fighting thing. Because you were saying unnecessary violence, I'm just going from memory here, that's bad. You shouldn't, like, look to get hurt or, you know.
No, not hurt. Permanent harm. Permanent disability or death. Permanent. You can get hurt. You always get hurt in violent sports. I played football. You get hurt, you know. But permanent disabilities or death.
Because, like, as far as I could see, like, even in the Bible, judo or jiu-jitsu was promoted. I think it was Jacob wrestling.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And from what I can see, that is the most dominant fighting style, jiu-jitsu, judo, wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
That's 85% of your fighting.
Yeah.
Because it's all done in close combat.
Yeah.
And I strongly recommend that for anybody. But when it comes to contact sports, if you look at taekwondo, jiu-jitsu, if you look at MMA, I know you support it, but it's quite brutal, and once that guy's on the ground, he can pound his face in.
That's good. There's not wrong with that. The guy's not getting permanently hurt. Look, Judges 3:2. Train up thy children to war.
Yeah.
that they may learn to fight against enemies. It's not just jiu-jitsu. It's punching, it's kicking, it's stabbing, it's cutting heads off and cutting limbs off. We're not wimps.
Yeah, but
and when you get into a sport like that, the person's football. You can say you can break your arm, you can break your leg. Soccer, you can get hurt. You can break a leg in soccer. Yeah.
So if you're training for war, when you're training for war, you're using a mimic gun. You have safety precautions when you're using swords.
You have safety precautions in MMA too. They got refs. There's certain holds you're not allowed to do. They stop it before they kill you. They fought hand to hand back then. You think you're not going to have your guys training to fight the same way?
No.
How else are you going to?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that 85% at least is all in combat wrestling kind of jujitsu type thing.
But no, it's boxing. It's boxing.
Also be trained in striking combats like boxing. But just if you're involved in boxing long term, you're getting tons of these little hits. You're gonna have brain concussions.
No. That's maybe some people in the years ago when they didn't stop the fight. You know what happened years ago? They didn't have good rules because the refs didn't stop the fights. Now they watch it. Mm-hmm. They stop fights. To me, I think they stop them too quickly. All right. They should still let them go on a little longer. But back then, you beat your brains out till somebody almost died. So
statistically, there's less injuries in the UFC than any other.
That's right.
Of football and baseball.
That's right. Absolutely.
Statistically, so that's how they're able to get the laws or the sport and the state by state, basically by explaining. Like Dana White explained, he gave all the statistics of serious injury, how controlled the sport is unbelievable, you know. It should be even let go on further. They stop and they shrunk the length of the rounds, they've shrunk how many rounds. The top fighters, they only fight 3 times a year.
I know. It's, they're getting too crazy, you know. They're getting effeminate. I call that they're getting effeminate and they're getting wimpy. Your left wing peacenik people and your hippie type people hate any kind of violence or any kind of aggressive sport. But that we're living in a world where it's combat. War takes place. You want your boys to be manly. You don't want them to be wimps. You want them to be aggressive. You need to fight and defend yourself. Yeah. We're not pacifists. And it's true when you're talking about the UFC, by the way, not one person that I know of, at least the UFC, has ever died or has got a permanent disability. And they have very good rules on stopping things. Now, before anybody can die or get killed, you're going to get injured. I played football, for instance. And when I played, there's a few rules in football, I think, that they are good rules that they change so you don't get concussions. But now they're getting wimpy. It's turning into a wimp sport. It's wimpy.
Yeah.
When if you're going to combat, go ahead.
Like, I can't disagree with stats, so what Dermot's saying, if that's correct, that's correct. That's fair enough.
But Thomas, you've got to be...
I recommend that you say in the article that men should learn how to fight. I just recommend that focus on jiu-jitsu and wrestling.
No, because it's not just jiu-jitsu and it's not just wrestling. It's boxing, it's punching... And if you're fighting with weapons, and when they used to train with weapons, what fencing is a big sport in the Olympics. Fencing, a lot of Europeans fence.
I agree.
I mean, because
I'm not saying that people shouldn't learn boxing. I'm saying that should be part of it. I'm just saying that the most useful is jiu-jitsu and wrestling.
Well, after that, do your boxing and striking. It all goes together. I did both in my life. I boxed. I did the MMA. The reason why I liked the MMA because what I didn't like about boxing was because you weren't allowed to take it down to the ground. But what I didn't like about wrestling, I liked them all. But wrestling, because you're not boxing. So anybody who got into a fight knows you need to know all of it. You just need to know all of it. Just do it all.
Did you see the Tyson Fury match?
I'm glad Fury beat his head off. I can't stand that Dante Wilder.
Man.
Yeah. I'm glad.
He at the end, he said he wanted to thank the Lord Jesus Christ and that it was all for him. He gives God the glory and God gives him the victory. It was so beautiful.
And you know that Dante Wilder is a voodoo guy. He's a voodoo guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a voodoo guy. He brings in voodoo into the ring and all that. So I'm glad Fury beat his head off. He might be one of the best heavyweights in the world ever, this Tyson Fury. He's a phenomenal. I can't believe it, because for a guy that big and that heavy, and he doesn't get tired. So anyway, we don't want to be mushy, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. I'm not against striking sports. I just wanted to, I just needed that question about, yeah, how dangerous it was. And if Dermot's giving me stats, he's giving me stats.
Yeah.
Now, I will end on this, though, that jiu-jitsu is promoted in the Bible, and it is the most dominant sport in fighting style, in the sense that you can subdue somebody in a very logical,
plain manner. Yeah, but,
and he can't do shit, and you can get him.
Yeah.
You could break his arm if you wanted to.
Yeah, I know that. But before you reach the grappling stage, a couple shots are coming at your head. And if you get hit with a good one, you're going down. And so it's just the whole picture. Here's another thing. It is in the Bible, not just jiu-jitsu. Just look at war. Look at back then when men fought hand to hand. They clubbed one over the head. They punched him in the face. They wrestled. They punched. They clubbed. They just look at war from the beginning of mankind.
Yeah, for sure.
See, and also, there's other people too. Hitler had a problem with the Old Testament for one reason, because he didn't like the shedding of animals' blood. He was a little wimpy on this, believe it or not. But people, how could you cut the animal's neck and the poor animal's bleeding, then you take the blood and sprinkle it on people? You got to be careful of that, Thomas, of that being a little too sensitive about blood being shed, about this aggressiveness. Yeah. You can't be so passive.
Like if we were living back in the day with swords and stuff, of course, you learn swords first. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just most fights end up on the ground, and if you can... With jiu-jitsu, it's just logic. It's like,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
You're better or you're not.
I know
you're
what you're saying.
You're not going to be beaten. If you're a good jiu-jitsu fighter, you're not going to be beaten by a person who doesn't know the knowledge that you have.
Yeah, I agree with that. I know what you're trying to say, that it's got more, because you're really grappling more than you are punching. That's true. But I don't want to get into the fact where we're looking at, look, he's punching the guy's face in and blood's coming out. Oh, people need to see blood in the right way more often. When you keep now, then you get the other people that are crazy with blood and they overdo it. But you do need to see blood. You need to see blood because we're living in a fallen world where people die. That's why God had them offer up animal sacrifices and cut their necks and take the blood and sprinkle it to let them know we're living in a fallen world. This world is not paradise, and you got to fight in it. You got to kill. He wants us to kill animals, and there's people that don't like hunting because you kill animals. They're wimpy on hunting. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's heresy. Mm. If you're feeling like that, boy, that's like you're a heretic. You're like effeminate, like the rest of the world out there. So you got to be careful with that. We got a couple of hunting guys. A lot of people hunt. Your cowboys are all your cowboys are hunters. But I always just say to the people that are afraid of killing animals, but they're eating hamburgers. I said, where did you get
I'm one of those people.
Yeah. I said, where did you get the hamburger from, you know? Somebody had to kill it, you know? So you got to be...
I'm very wimpy about killing animals. Like, I'm sorry. It's just something that I need to get over, you know?
You don't have to kill them yourself, but you can't be against people killing them, you know? Because in the old days, the guy would do the hunting, but the woman would have to cut the animal up or prepare it, you know? Cut it up, you know? So you got to get a little tougher when it comes to stuff like that. I'm not for torturing animals, though, you know? But for humans, yeah. Humans can be tortured. Animals, no. I wrote that in the thing there. But... that's why you got to teach your kids to be tough. You got to train them up in this world that we're living in to fight and to defend themselves, not to be wimpy, to be manly. You know, because what we grew up with a generation of like hippie peacenik people with this effeminacy. And the sports, like Dermot was saying, even with some of the sports in England, I guess, and here even with football, they're making some rules that are overly done. I agree with some of the rules, by the way. And that do help people. And earlier in boxing, it was brutal because they didn't stop it soon enough. They didn't watch out for the welfare of the boxer. And so there was problems back then, because sometimes you would beat one another to death and there was no rules. You just keep going 48 rounds. I mean, so you do. That's why I put in there no permanent disability as a general rule. No permanent disabilities or death as a general rule. But in any sport, you can have death. You can die when you're racing cars. You can die walking across the street today. Just crossing the street, you can die. I mean, so.
Like the gladiators.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how do you prevent that? Like, we know in soccer, Dermot made a good point. People are getting slide tackled all the time. If your leg gets taken out, you're crippled for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Potentially. You can't avoid that. You know it's a possibility, so.
Is that a foul? Is it a foul in soccer? Is it a foul?
Yeah.
Well, then you can't do that. You see, then they have to, and they have to throw a guy. They have to, like what they do in the United States now. They call it targeting in football. If they catch you targeting, they'll throw you out for the rest of the game.
The thing is, you can legally hit the ball, but also take out the man in soccer.
Yeah. Well, you can hit people in soccer. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, aren't you allowed to hit people?
If I go in for a slide tackle, as long as I tip off the ball, I can hit you as hard as I can.
Well, so what? So what's wrong with that? That's what football's about. That's what rugby's about. Rugby does that. Look at rugby. That rugby's tougher than football.
No, I know that. And what I'm saying is that if the chance of you getting your legs broken, being, you know, disabled for the rest of your life is there, and you're saying that you should not.
As long as it doesn't. What you get? Show me the percentages. Is it a general rule or is it a particular rule? How often does it happen? That's what you got to figure out. You got to look at the statistics. What is the percentage that you're going to break your leg? If it starts happening a lot, I guarantee you it'll stop because you're not going to have soccer anymore. Naturally, it'll stop it. If it starts happening to too many soccer players, they're going to stop it because it's going to ruin the sport.
So essentially what you're saying is you can't like intentionally try to take out a person, even if you tip off the ball, don't take out his legs, because that's...
Well, it depends on the rules. If the rules allow it, you do it. If the rules allow it.
Yeah.
If the rules allow it... Go ahead.
The only sports injury I ever got in my life was playing soccer. I was side-tackled, and I got my knee dislocated. I put me out of the game for like a year. Then I took up boxing, karate, judo, and jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I got hurt, but no injuries.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the soccer injury, that put me out of sports for a year.
Yeah, you could. Like, here's the other thing, too. Like, if you get an injury in football, even it happens. People do get injured still. And they're out for life. They can't play. But it's very rare. It's not the high percentage. If it begins to be a high percentage, it's going to ruin the sport. You could break your leg or you could pop your knee. And then you can't play for the rest of your life. So big deal. That's it. You can't play for the rest of your life. If it happens a lot. Okay,
So like you were saying with the boxing back in the day, you thought that was brutal. So
yes,
in that
yes.
case, a Catholic can't right. join that group.
No, you're right. Because you can harm the person permanently or kill them even maybe.
It's just I was told by somebody that we know that does jiu-jitsu, and he was saying that in boxing, even nowadays, it's worse than other fighting styles because you're getting all these small hits to the brain, and that will cause a concussion after a long, long period of time.
Well, you're getting hit more in the head than you are than MMA, because MMA, you're also wrestling, but MMA has a lot of boxing too. But what's making your modern day boxing more safe, though, and it is, you can look at the record. They're not getting like years ago. A lot of your boxers would have brain problems because they were battering one another and they weren't stopping it. They got like a three count rule. They got a lot of rules that are regulating it nowadays in boxing even. So boxing's a lot more safer today than it was years ago. Just look at the statistics. That's what you got to look at. But that doesn't mean people still can't die or get hurt in a sport. They can hurt in any sport. You can get hurt in playing golf if you trip over or get hit in the head with a golf ball. You know, if you're on the green and somebody hits the and you get hit in the head with a golf ball and you die, I'm not going to ban golf or, you know, I mean, so if you know, it depends as a general rule. If it starts happening a lot, then they should really, if they want to still continue to have the sport, they got to regulate it to make it safer.
And can we order our? Can you order us to go out and learn fighting styles, especially the men?
You could like in Israel, and this is a good rule they have in Israel, which I agree with. All your boys have to join the military for 2 or 3 years. I forget how long. I agree with that rule they have. I like that one. So if I was in charge, I would say, well, if you could, but not all boys are meant to be in the military. Some are physically weak. They don't have a good physical. So then you don't put them in the military. Or if you do, you put them in a desk job, or you put him in a particular position where he doesn't have to fight. So not all boys are born to be fighters, because some are born weak, sick, and weakly. Okay, so you don't want to put that kid in a position where he can't fight, because he's not able to, or at least he's not able to do sufficiently. But if I was in power in a Catholic nation, I would have all my kids be trained up at least for a couple of years in some type of military combat to defend yourself, like they did in Israel, Judges 3:2. Train up thy children to war, that they may learn to fight against their enemies. But but if you're not trained from a child and you're like 30 or 40 years old, it's already too late. I won't require people like that to do it, because they haven't done it their whole life and they're already over the hill when it comes to fighting stuff. You know?
Pity in Ireland, it's quite difficult to get a hold of. I know there is gun shooting ranges and stuff like that, but it's not like the States where you're just going to walk around with these things.
Oh, yeah, we got one right down here. We can just go right down a couple of miles from here and just shoot away. You know, it's like, what do you call it? They got big, it's like mountains, like a big mountains where the bullets get trapped in the mountains. But in New Jersey, forget it. If I was in New Jersey, not so easy. Not so easy in New Jersey. Very tough in New Jersey. You got to go to a place where they shoot guns. You got to have license. You got all this kind of stuff. In New Mexico, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I was thinking about the whole fighting thing recently, and I was like, I want to get into jiu-jitsu, and I also do want to get into some kind of striking thing. I just emphasize the jiu-jitsu thing.
Yeah, well, I'm not against people who just want to do jiu-jitsu and they don't like boxing. You can do that. I'm not against that. But I'm just saying, but the ultimate fighting, which is what they call MMA, is when it's everything involved. Because when you look at these movies, and you've got a lot of them from the old time, like the Rome movie, and you see in the Gladiator, and you see these people when they're fighting back then, this was the way they fought. I mean, you'd have in one battle 60,000 people die in one battle. 50,000 people. Go ahead.
Like, if we were back then, that's fair enough. You're dealing with swords and all sorts of kind of combat. But in MMA, you would agree that the jiu-jitsu fighters are the ones on top. They're the ones who come out.
I think they are. Yeah, I do. I do say, if you're not good at jiu-jitsu and wrestling, you're not going to be an MMA fighter. Forget it. You're dead. If you're just a boxer, you're going to lose.
That's why I optimized it. Yeah. 80% jiu-jitsu, at least 10% striking styles, right. And, you know, shooting then as well. That's kind of a general.
Because once you get in there with the jiu-jitsu, you can do so many things you can do. It is definitely the more dominant thing, but you still need to learn both. For the sake of the fact that if you get a guy coming in, he pops you a couple of good shots and stays away from you before you can grab him, he can knock you out before you even grab him. But I think wrestling and jiu-jitsu is the more dominant. And if you're not good at that, forget it. Don't even join the MMA. You're done.
What do you think is the best striking sport to learn?
Boxing, of course. And boxing, and they got karate has striking, taekwondo has striking, so even your karate martial arts, they strike too, they have striking. Boxing though is probably the best, boxing, because the one what they teach you in karate sometimes is, if it's, it depends on what school you go to, it's kind of fake. It's not, you're not, unless they're allowing you to fight. We used to wear a cage around our head, so you have a cage on your head. So if they would hit the cage, you wouldn't hit his head. So you had certain safety things. And then, but if you were to go into the real ring, then you'd have to take the cage off, and you have to get used to getting a couple of shots, you know, so you can take a punch.
I think, would Thai boxing not be the best?
I think regular boxing is the best, because you know why? All the MMA guys, when they come in, who are just wrestlers, college wrestlers, and they didn't box, they learn boxing. That's what they do, just boxing. They get a boxing expert.
You need to use your legs and your knees also, you know, because your knees are quite powerful.
Okay, I'm gonna head out. This guy.
Okay, we're getting. I'm gonna be leaving here in a couple of minutes also. This is a good time maybe to stop it. Like I said, if we don't stop it, we'll be on here for another hour. Okay. All right. Goodbye, Ireland. Goodbye, Ryan. And goodbye, Phil. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.